You want to find in your Bibles Romans chapter 12. Sometimes that happens. Now, we've had this verse on our agenda for a long time. What we're doing is talking about spiritual growth dynamics. What are those things that will continue to make us grow in Christ? What are the activities? What is the framework that we need to grow in Christ? And that's an important question. And the phrase that I want you to focus on this morning as we look at this verse, we've talked about the mind and renewing the mind, and we spent a lot of time talking about how important that is, that our mind match the mind of Christ. And the phrase, though, I want you to look at this morning when we talk about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, is that last phrase, those last two phrases of verse 2, that say, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So this whole verse, this whole sense about this verse, I'm going to read it all on here in just a second. I want you to kind of focus on its end, on its purpose, and that's that last phrase, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's our goal, proving that. So let's read the verse again, and then let's talk about some other verses, and then this morning we're going to talk about what I call inventory. So therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we do these things, we renew our minds, we focus on that arena of our minds so that we might be transformed into the likeness of Christ, the stature of Christ, the measure of Christ, so we might experience the fullness of God, so that we might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. God's will is revealed to us in how He has created us. And God's will is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. God's will is expressed and proved in us when we measure up to that stature of Christ. So our task is to begin to assess ourselves so that we might look like Jesus. That we might look like Him. So let's listen to some of these other verses. I'm going to take some verses from the Old Testament and one more New Testament verse, just to kind of give you an idea of what I think we're talking about here when we talk about this idea of inventory. The first one is Psalm 139. It says, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You have searched me and known me. Now, when we get to the end of that psalm, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 or so, there's kind of a prayer which affirms this first statement. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. So it's a psalm that talks about God's knowledge of us, how He knows us. He knows our frame. He knows our beginning. He knows our rising up and our sitting down. He knows it. He knows everything about us. And then at the end, the psalmist turns that into a prayer that says, search me, O God. I want you to do that. And the prayer also has this implication that searching and knowing would then be revealed to me so that I might know what I should change. Psalm 26:2 says, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. Now, I think these verses should begin to frame your prayer life. That part of your prayer life is not simply asking for things, but it's engaging with God about me. So I get with the Lord and I say, let's have a conversation about me. Search me, O Lord, I have this thought in my head, Lord. Is this your will and your way? I have this emotion right now. I'm feeling this right now. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm stressed. Search me, O Lord, and know me. Why is this going on? Why do I feel like this? How would you counsel me with this emotion? Know me. Know my ways. You know me. So my prayer life begins this engagement with God about me and about my character and about my nature and about my behavior and about my life. It's about this proving what the will of God is. And that's where we discover that. That's where we engage with that. That's where we make personal passages of Scripture, ideas, characteristics of life. We want to drive those into this personal arena that says, Lord, show me. I want to be like you. And so it's the engagement of prayer that helps me to see that. The book of Job says this, let him weigh me with accurate scales and let God know my integrity. Let him weigh me with accurate scales and let God know my integrity. I think another way to think about this is this engagement with God is, and this is an uncomfortable idea, is when we have, let's say if you're in a job that does performance reviews, right? Let's talk about your performance. Let's talk about how you're doing. And if you've got a good boss and a healthy culture and a healthy context, those can be great things. Honestly, tell me, in a context of love, how I can improve. So there's a sense, I think, in that phrase where God comes to us with accurate scales, and he weighs us and he tells us the truth about who we are and our character. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. So there again we get this idea of testing and proving that is found in the Scriptures, where God is examining our hearts and weighing them and seeing how they measure up. And then the last verse from the New Testament, 1 Peter 1:7, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we come full circle now to that proving what God's will is in our lives. And oftentimes it comes through testing. Oftentimes it comes through challenge. Last Sunday afternoon, some Sundays are longer than others. And last Sunday afternoon, I won't go into all the details, but I didn't get around to lunch till about 4:00. And so Kelly was tired, and we were at home. We didn't go anywhere. So I did what you normally do when you're hungry. I went over, and I opened the refrigerator door. And since it was hot, I just let it open and stay open and stand there. It's like, this really feels good. But as I looked in the refrigerator, I'm hungry, and I'm saying, I've got to make myself something to eat. You've done that before, right? You open it and you look. What's there to eat? And what you're doing is you're assessing your inventory of food. So I see an item in the fridge. I said, that would be good, but I don't have any of this. Can't do that. Oh, that would be good, but I don't have any eggs, so I can't do that. That would be good. No bread. Can't do that. That would be good. It's frozen. I'm too tired to wait for it to thaw out. You've done that before? This is taking me a long time. And as you know, you're hungry, and now I'm getting kind of irritated. And I'm trying not to do the blame game that you do in marriage. Like, geez, if my wife would just shop more often and get the right food in the fridge, I wouldn't have this problem. Right? So I couldn't find anything that was suitable to eat, which is a crazy statement that I don't want to defend. But nonetheless, I couldn't find anything suitable. I mean, I have a full refrigerator full of food, and I was complaining. Don't go there right now, okay? That's a whole nother sermon. I couldn't find any food that I wanted to eat, so closed the door, and I drove down into Paris and got myself something to eat. It was an inventory, right? And inventory is very important. When you run a business, it's important to know your inventory. You know, do we have enough of this, enough of this, enough of this? When you go to the market and you have the experience I had at my house, you probably don't go back to that market. I went to the market and they didn't have any eggs, they didn't have any bread, they didn't have any milk, they didn't have any of this. Let's find a new market. Because they didn't have quality inventory. Well, each and every one of us has a store within us. We have resources within us, strengths and qualities and characteristics within us that are worthwhile. And sometimes our stores, our energy levels, our capacities, our emotional levels reduce, and we find ourselves like, I just can't do that right now. I'm done. Have you ever had that happen to you? So you come up to something, you just say, geez, I'm done. I can't do that. I'm spent. And it's time for me to go home and rejuvenate or replenish my inventory, right? Inventory is an important part of our lives. I think it's a powerful way to look at our health and to assess ourselves and to think about what is it that I need to be doing in my life. Now, this crowd, this experienced crowd, if I look around the room, many of us do this naturally and informally. It's just something we do. You know, when you look at the simple things, you get to the place where you're driving and you're nodding off, my inventory of strength, of alertness is run out, I'm going to go to sleep. And so, you know, there's an immediate fix, and then when I go to sleep, my stores are brought back up to normal. And so that's an easy thing. And there's lots of things that we do like that just naturally. We don't have to really have a formal system. Today I'm going to talk about taking inventory. And I'm just going to talk about that from top to bottom. And I don't know if you've ever done this actually kind of in a concerted way. Like I said, most of us do this kind of naturally. But when you don't ever actually kind of just sit down and do it formally, sometimes you leave some things off the shelf and you just get used to it. You just don't deal with it. Unfortunately, those things don't really go away. They linger and they affect you. And so inventory is a very important thing for us to participate in. I've given you a little sheet, a little handout this morning of inventory. It's got an explanation on the front and some worksheets on it. And I just kind of want to walk through this with you and talk about it. So let's just actually just read this on the front on inventory. It says, an inventory is taking stock of what you have and who you are. Stores take time out on a regular basis to do inventory, to record what they have in terms of product. Humans should take inventory of themselves. In fact, healthy people do it automatically. Some areas of life demand inventories. You need to monitor your finances, especially if you have a checking account. Evaluation of life issues also happen automatically, but usually not formally. I feel good and haven't been sick for months is an informal inventory of your physical health. I'm hungry is also an inventory of sorts. Statements like, I feel dry spiritually, I am depressed, I miss you, are all statements which are informally inventory in nature. When life is out of whack, sometimes it's good to do a formal inventory. Inventories highlight not only what is, but what I need to do. Where am I short in stock? Start your inventory with a statement of desire. what do you want to be like in this area? And we'll talk about a whole bunch of different areas where you need to take inventory. Then identify the process that needs to be incorporated into life, the habits that need to be developed, and the habits that need to be broken to realize your desire. What will this look like? What activities, behaviors will this take to accomplish or realize? And we've already had a great example of exactly that when Charlene said, I needed to know more about the Bible, so all I did was start the Air One Verse a Day program, right? She made a statement of desire, I want to know more about the Bible. She assessed herself, I don't know much about the Bible. She made a plan. I'm going to take this and do it every day. Perfect. Didn't know I was going to preach on your illustration. It was perfect. So in an inventory, you want to describe what is. It's a description of the present. And so this, since this inventory is for you, you want to be honest. Don't describe what you want to be here. Describe the reality of what is. And sometimes we just need to say that. I'm angry all the time. Right? Sometimes I just need to say that. Why am I, in the last couple months, why am I so stressed out? I'm depressed. That's reality. I'm depressed. That's what's going on with me. I am depressed. So when you take an accurate statement and you say it about yourself, it's healthy. Most of us want to live in denial, right? We live in denial. So I'll give you an example. I used to have this little spot on my nose that would recur time and time again. It would just come back, it would come back, it would come back. And my wife kept telling me, you need to go get that taken care of. I just said, you know, it's nothing. It's just a blemish. Don't worry about it. She goes, you need to go get that checked out. And I just kept saying, it'll be okay. It'll go away. I'll put some Neosporin on it, right? And I just sat there living in denial. She was assessing me. I should have just done a self-assessment, for crying out loud. It was on my nose. Well, you can't miss it, right? At some point, you've got to say, this is reality. This thing keeps coming back, doctor. Can you take a look at it? And sometimes we don't want to face the facts. Sometimes there's ugly stuff about us or stuff that we know is going to take work to overcome, but we just don't want to be honest about it. That's where the prayer comes in. Lord, you've searched me and you know me. And I want to be a person of integrity. And this is another definition of integrity, agreeing with God's assessment of you. I agree with what you say about me. And that goes for good and for bad, by the way. So you want to describe what is. And lastly, you want to spend time in evaluation. And this is very closely connected to describing what is. Spend time evaluating what is with what you want to be. Don't change the desire statement if there's a big discrepancy. Adjust your process. So what you want to do is say, I have this great grand desire and I'm like really far, far away from it. And oftentimes what people do when they see that is, I could never do that. I could never do that. That's a mistake. Because again, sometimes the desires of our hearts are also the revelations of the will of God in believers. Sometimes that's how he speaks his will to you, by giving you a desire. You begin to evaluate that desire against the truth, and if it matches the truth, then what you do is you adjust your process. What's it going to take to get there? What's it going to take to get there? You've all accomplished things that took a long, long time, that didn't come automatically. Most of us have a high school education and a high school degree. That didn't come overnight, folks. It took the time you were in kindergarten with Mrs. Bush to the time you were a 12th grader with Mr. Benoit, right? You had that transition from one end to the other. It took you 12 years, or 13, if you count kindergarten. was a long time, but you know, we tell kids you just need to go every day. Go every day. And then you've accomplished something. So when you have a big statement of desire and you evaluate yourself and you say, that'll never happen. It's so far away. Therefore, I'm just going to throw it out the window. You may have made a critical mistake. So don't do that. Adjust the process and start taking steps to reach that spot. So you have to adjust the process. Ask, what are the steps necessary to get where I want to be? What steps am I skipping or overlooking? Now, frankly, again, like I said, many of us do this automatically. This isn't brain surgery. This is just life. This is how life is lived, and this is how you've approached life in your job, in your home, and in many projects. The challenge now is to turn this around and specifically and intentionally apply it to yourself, to your person. Because not only are we trying to accomplish things in our lives, like buy a house, retire, get a better job, whatever it might be, we're trying in our lives to become like Christ. Now, of all those things I just mentioned, that's the hardest one. Becoming like Christ is the one that demands most of our attention and should demand most of our energy. And the other things happen along the way. In fact, I think when you become like Christ, many of those things become easier. So this is really the area that you want to address. So I've given you one area of an example on this page. Now on the website, there are all the different examples I'm going to talk about this morning. And there's also a sheet on the back that's just a blank. And we'll talk a little bit about how to address this later with the blank. But the first area that we could talk about is our spiritual lives. The area of our devotion or religion, whatever you want to call it. This area of spiritual life. So I might use this as a statement of desire. I want to have a vibrant, ongoing relationship with God. That's pretty general. But I want that in my life. I want that to be central. You might use what we've talked about over the last couple of years. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to grow up into the image of Christ. I want to look like Jesus. You might actually put something even more specific on this. I've always wanted to teach Sunday school. Or I want to be a pastor, actually. I'd love to be a pastor. I would love to use my gifts that I have in this way. You might put that as your statement of desire in this arena. So once I talk about that, I want to have a vibrant, ongoing relationship with God. I talk about the process. Okay, what am I going to do to ensure that outcome? What does that mean? What does that look like? So I might start talking about Bible reading. A verse a day from an app or a radio station. There's so much out there for us. How am I going to engage the Bible? So I might say I want to read a chapter of the Bible every day. Just one chapter. I want to pray. And this is just an example. I want to pray twice a day, intentionally. I know I'm praying all the time. I'm praying in the car. I'm praying when stuff comes up. I'm praying when that bill comes in the mail. I'm praying when my kids go somewhere. I'm praying when they're in crisis. But this is going to be intentional. I'm going to actually take some time out of my day and actually close doors, find a closet, get on my knees, whatever process you use. I'm going to do that twice a day. And maybe I'll pick a verse to guide my prayer for this first month. So in the book of Ephesians, we talked about some prayers that are in that book. Chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Or you might look in the book of Philippians. There's an awesome prayer at the beginning of Philippians. Or we might just go straight to the source and say, I'm just going to pray the Lord's Prayer and meditate on that twice a day. Or I'm going to take Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know me. And I'm going to do that twice. In the morning, I'm going to find some time. 5 minutes. I'm just going to go to a quiet spot. I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. Lord, search me, know me. What is this? Where does this feeling come from? What do you want me to do with that? Have a conversation with God. And so you might decide that's part of your process. The third thing is I'm going to worship by listening to praise music. You know, I want to fill my mind with praise. So I'm going to buy an album, a CD, whatever we call it today. Spotify. I'm going to download some worship music, and I'm going to listen to it on my way to and from work. Maybe that's what I'm going to do instead of listening to talk radio that agitates me and makes me angry. Maybe that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to spend those times redeeming my commute. Right? That's really an issue for this crowd. Well, maybe not this crowd, but our church, our community. Lots of people commute a lot. And so maybe that's a time you need to assess in terms of your inventory and your process. I'm going to redeem that commuting time. I'm going to make it a time where I listen to something uplifting. I'm going to listen to the Bible as it comes out in audio form. Or I'm going to listen to worship music. I'm going to do something specific during that period of time to redeem it in this area of spiritual development. Or I might, in my process, say, I need to be more involved in church. I need to be serving more. So how am I using my gift? I want to be like Christ. I want to develop spiritually, and service is a part of that. So how am I serving? I want to start exploring different ways to serve. By the way, our next message in this series next week will be on gifts. Because in terms of spiritual growth dynamics, that's a powerful one. So we'll be talking about that next week. And then you want to make a plan. If I want to do these things, read, pray, worship, and service, and I've already kind of given a hint about this, when will I do it? We talked about commuting. Am I going to read my Bible at lunch? That's when I'm going to read my one chapter a day. I'm actually going to implement a plan and pick a time. I'm going to pray before breakfast, and I'm going to pray before I go to bed. I'm going to volunteer for nursery duty. And then along the way on this page, you want to have a result. I encourage people to buy a notebook and journal and begin to kind of chronicle these things. So if you're going to actively be doing inventory, you want to actively begin charting your course, your plans, your goals, your results, so that you can go back and you can kind of evaluate and look at those things and say, wow, look at what God has done in my life. I would have never put this together unless I had journaled. There are things in my life where I've discovered that I'd grown, not because I perceived it in and of myself, but because I went back and read journal entries from when I was younger. And I went, oh, wow. I really have kind of moved past that. That's no longer part of how I view things. And I also looked at it and said, boy, you were younger then. I just don't feel that way right now. I always feel like I've been at this maturity level for my whole life. But I haven't. And we don't get it. It's like, you know, when you're with somebody all the time and they've grown, your kids, and somebody else sees them who hasn't seen them over time, they go, my goodness, look how he's grown. You kind of go, has he? That's why we do those little things on the door, because we need to say, wow, he was really that little at one point. So that's the same sort of thing that we do, is we evaluate what's the result, start journaling, and it's helpful to do that formally. Does that make sense? On the back of your sheet is a blank one. Just you can do any sort of your own work on that and move through it. You want to do that in your spiritual life. So we just talked about that. You want to do this in the arena of emotions, your emotional life. Right? So you might have this as your statement of desire emotionally. I want to have peace in my life. I want to live on an even keel emotionally. I want to be in control of my anger. I want to be positive about myself and my life's outlook. Those are emotional statements. So you want to evaluate your emotional state of being, and you want to say, I want to be an emotionally healthy person. Have you heard of emotional IQ? You want to have a high emotional IQ. People with a low emotional IQ are difficult to be around. They're work. When you look at someone and say, that person's work, man, that's a lot of work to be with that person. They have a low emotional IQ. What you want to figure out in this thing is not, oh, look at all the people with a low emotional IQ around me. You want to say, am I that person? Am I work to be around? Am I always disruptive? Am I always agitated? Am I always drama? Right? So I evaluate my emotional state, and then I want to take steps to address it. I want to begin to do things like this. Maybe this will be your process or your plan. Your process might be, okay, what will I do? I'm going to begin to choose what I think about, and I'm going to begin to choose whether or not I get angry at certain things or not. There was a meeting I had this week, and one of the things I did as I approached this meeting, because I knew it was going to be emotional, is I said, I'm not going to bring emotion into the meeting. I made that as a statement in my head and a decision before I went into the meeting. I know what's going to happen in that meeting. I'm not bringing emotion into that meeting. I'm not adding to the drama in this moment. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to ask questions. I don't have to make a decision right now, and I don't have to be pulled into the emotion. So that's part of the plan. I find that I'm always getting drawn into drama. I'm always getting pulled in, and then I say something I don't want to say. Okay, my new process is I'm going to choose what to think, and I'm going to choose how to feel. You think you can do that? Because you know you can. I can actually choose how I'm going to feel. My other process is I'm going to actually evaluate my feelings in the moment. I'm going to ask questions like this. How do you feel right now? Why do you feel that way? Is it necessary to continue to feel that way? Okay, so pure pastor moment right now. Sometimes when your wife does something that irritates you, you like to live in it. You don't want to let it go. Right? It's like, I don't know why. Well, maybe I do, but I don't know why. You know, I just want to hold this over her head. You know, makes me feel better for some reason. You know, and I find myself doing that. I said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You know, you can stop doing this right now, Steve, is what I tell myself. You can stop this. You don't have to keep feeling this way. You can actually stop, forgive, and move on and be happy. Today, you can actually do that right now. And that's an emotional statement. It's a process. So if I'm finding myself being driven by my emotions, my process may be I'm going to choose what to think. I'm going to direct my emotions. And when am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to do that regularly because emotions tend to be with me all the time. So I'm going to learn a new way of thinking about my emotions and a new way of assessing my emotions, and I'm actually going to take care of my emotions. I'm also going to check my extremes. I'm going to call someone and talk about my feelings and get them out instead of just letting them mull around, because self-talk when I'm at extremes is not necessarily helpful. I'm going to vent, and then I'm going to make a decision to move on track. We're going to do this with our physical area, with our social and relational areas, with our relationships. Physically is really easy. We do this all the time. Am I eating healthy? Am I getting enough exercise? Do I need to go to the doctor? Am I getting enough sleep? All those things are inventory. You need to do those things. Relationally, you want to talk about this. Am I at peace? The Bible says to be at peace with every man, as far as it depends on you. Am I at peace with everybody? Or have I let relationship issues just go? Have I just been ignoring important conversations that I should be having? Do I have some reconciliation that I need to do that I've been ignoring? And a lot of you are now a little uncomfortable because you know you have. Because that's hard work. And so am I relationally like Christ? Is that the characteristic of the touch points of the people in my life? You can do this with education. You can do this with money. You can do it with all of these different areas. Inventory is important, people. It's important to take a look at yourself. It's important to evaluate yourself. It's important to say, am I the image of Christ. So it's important to get specific about it. And I would encourage you to begin this process. Take some time. Pick one of these categories: spiritual life, my emotional life, my relational and social life, my physical life, my financial life. What in those areas, my education, what do I need to be doing in those areas? Use this sheet. Begin this process in your life of evaluating and checking your inventories, because if you don't, then some of those things just kind of hang on in your life. So Father, help us to be diligent in our inventory of ourselves. Help us to take stock of what you've made us to be. Help us, Lord, to then measure ourselves against the image of Jesus Christ, so that we might compare those pictures and then be specific about how can I move closer to this image of Jesus Christ and honor you. Help us, Lord, to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.